But God is good. We're gonna move, amen, fairly quickly today. We're gonna go to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. And I'm gonna ask you to look with me at verse number 20. And we're gonna read from verse 20 down to verse 29 in 1 Corinthians chapter 1. And as you turn there, I want to say to you and share with you what the Lord is making plain to me, and that is that over these past several weeks, God has been speaking in a continuous fashion to us. We had 2 weeks where God told us to go for it, where He was saying, by the use of Jeremiah chapter 1, go forward, I formed you in the belly, I knew you before you came forth, I ordained you and sanctified you. He used those scriptures to let us know that, you know what, he knew us from the beginning, and He has some great plans for us from the very beginning. And He said, go for it, amen, and go for it. And then He came back and told us what, to live the blessed life, right? Mm-hmm. That we're already blessed. We already have everything we need. Mm-hmm. Everything we need is on the inside of us. I was listening to a preacher yesterday morning, and he was talking about that everything that everything is in us, he said. Everything's already in us. And he was talking about, he said, this ministry was in me even when I was acting foolish. Mm-hmm. He said, this preaching was in me even when I was running the street. And see, now he's running the church. But he's saying, but that thing was in me.
Yes.
It just had to come out. Mm-hmm. Right? Because God, he said, God doesn't call you to anything that's not already in you. That's why once you get called, listen, the things in you, there's so many things that are in us, we just have to bring them out.
Yes.
Amen. And God wants to pull them out and bring them out of us, but it requires us to live in faith. And part of that living in faith is to realize we're already blessed. Jesus has already done everything that needs to be done for us to live a triumphant life in this present world.
Amen.
It's in us.
That's right.
And so God said to us a few weeks ago, right, that we should live the blessed life. Why? Because God has already blessed us with all spiritual blessings in Christ.
Amen.
Amen. And then we then had Reflection Sunday. And then we came back last week and God was saying what? Come out of the shadows.
Yes.
Right? Right? And part of that coming out of the shadows was be transparent. Be real with God and with men. Don't try to act like you got the glory. Because then you just create a shadow. And the shadow is a prefigure of the good thing. But it's not the good thing itself. Remember God said that to us? And we don't want the prefigure of the good thing. We want the good thing itself.
Amen.
We don't want the image of power. We want the power itself.
Amen.
And so, you know, God says, listen, come out of the shadows. Be transparent. Because when you're not transparent and the light shines, then shadows are created. But when you're transparent, then the light that shines can go right through you.
Yes.
And people can see.
Amen.
Right?
Amen.
And so it was like, don't come out of the shadows.
Yeah.
Because then we can walk in liberty, right? Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. And then God also said there is transformation.
Yes.
That we can and will be changed as we come out of the shadows. And so all of those things, and to me, I see this as one continuous thing God is saying. Right? Go for it. Know that you're blessed. Come out of the shadows. Be real. Walk in real power, not fake power. Don't be like Moses and put the veil over your face so that people think you still have glory. Right? But take that thing off and let be transparent, and then you'll have real glory.
Amen.
Right.
And so we're in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, and let's go to verse number 20. So I believe even today that God's going to continue this conversation He's had with us. Praise God. So let's start at verse number 20. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. For the Jews require a sign, and the Greeks seek after wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, and unto the Greeks foolishness. But unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. For ye see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. And God has chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty, and base things of the world, and things which are despised hath God chosen, yea, and things which are not, to bring to naught things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence.
Yes. Amen.
Amen. Praise God. Let's pray today as we get into the Word. Father, we thank you right now for the Word of God that was just read in our hearing. And Father, we're thanking you by faith for what you're about to speak to us through this Word. Father, we pray that the Scriptures will come alive in us. Father, the disciples on the road to Emmaus said, didn't our heart burn as Jesus talked unto us? And Father, we're believing right now that our hearts will burn with revelation as you speak to us the words of life. And so, Father God, we sit at your feet right now. We put our full attention on you. We incline our ear to your voice. And we're thankful that on this day, you shall bring forth the word of God with clarity. And we shall walk out of this place, hallelujah, with wisdom, knowledge, and understanding of your good, acceptable, and perfect will for our lives. Father, I thank you right now that everyone here, oh God, shall be trained, changed, and transformed.
Yes.
And Father, right now I decrease that you might increase, oh God, in the name of Jesus. Use me for your glory. And may all the praise and all the honor be given unto you for what you are about to do right here, right now. We're excited about it, and we give you praise for it. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Amen. We just read 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 1 to verses 20 through 29. Our title today, amen. Our title today is Looking Like a Fool. Amen. And I believe my wife should get revelation right about that because all this week, she said to me yesterday, I was walking around the house, she said, that song must be in your spirit, huh? And the song she was talking about, and I don't know exactly where it came from some reality show. I don't know if it was X Factor or if it was American Idol, but there was this old man once who was auditioning for a singing show. And he had wrote a song because he was so upset with young men walking around with their pants hanging down.
American Idol.
It was American Idol. And the song was Pants on the Ground, Pants on the Ground, Looking Like a Fool with Your Pants on the Ground. Those of you who remember, it was years ago. But, and so all, because God gave me this title, Greg, earlier in the week, Looking Like a Fool, and that song immediately came back to me. I had never thought about that song in years. But, you know, looking like a fool with your pants on the ground. And so I walked around the house because once it got there, I kept walking around often. Every day, I'm going, look, pants on the ground, pants on the ground. And sister said, that song must be in your spirit. And I could tell she kind of threw with me, like, why are you singing that dumb song? Well, now you know, sister. It's God's fault. Amen. But our title today, amen, is Looking Like a Fool. And you know, we just read the scriptures where Paul mentions that the gospel was a stumbling block to the Jewish, to the Jews. The Jewish people just, you know, could not get over the idea that the Messiah would be a suffering servant who was sent to deliver the world from sin. That was something they just couldn't get over. It was a stumbling block for them. They expected and they desired that Messiah would come and be a military or a political ruler who would deliver them from political and social oppression. That's what they were looking for. So this idea that Jesus was the Messiah and he's a suffering servant to deliver the world from sin, that was a stumbling block for them. They couldn't get past that. That's not what they were looking for. And to the Greeks, Paul said that the gospel of Christ that was preached was foolishness. Mm-hmm. See, because the Greeks prided themselves on wisdom, and they prided themselves on knowledge and on their intellect and on their ability to debate and all those types of things. And so this idea of a Christ, a Messiah who suffers and who bled and died for the sins of the world, to Greeks, that was nothing but foolishness.
Yes, amen.
And that's what Paul says here, amen, that this was just foolishness to people. We're preaching Christ, and people are looking at us, and they can't get past it, and they look at it like it's just a bunch of nonsense. But what stopped people from accepting Jesus back then keeps many people from accepting Jesus now, right? Because for many, this idea that of serving an invisible God is nonsense. I've been asked several times over the years whether I really believe that God speaks to people. Do I really believe that God answers prayer? Do I really believe all of the stories in the Bible? I've been asked that plenty of times. I know people who refer to Christianity as a crutch.
Oh, yes.
For those who believe. They say it's just a crutch. That it's something that Christians lean on because Christians aren't strong enough to cut it in the real world. And so we lean on Christianity. We lean on the Bible. There are many people, and you know this, there are many people in this world who view Christians as weak and even as fools for believing in Jesus and living their lives according to the Word of God. There are people who think that Christians are foolish for spending so much time in church. They believe that Christians are foolish for bringing tithes and offerings unto God in faith. Mm-hmm. They believe Christians are foolish for living a life that says, if you do wrong to me, I'll forgive you. They think Christians are foolish.
Yeah.
The world looks at it and they say, that's a bunch of foolishness. Mm-hmm. But Paul declared the truth, right? Where he said in verse 24, he said, to them which are called, Christ is the power of God and the wisdom of God.
Yeah.
To the Jews, Christ may be a stumbling block. To the Greeks, Christ may be foolishness. But to those who are called, Christ is the power of God.
Amen.
And the wisdom of God.
Amen.
Amen. And in verse 25, Paul said that the foolishness of God is wiser than men. And the weakness of God is stronger than men. I'd rather have the foolishness of God in my life than all the wisdom that man can offer.
Amen.
Amen. I'd rather have whatever the world considers foolish when it comes to God, I'd rather have the foolishness of God than all the wisdom of man.
Yes. Amen.
I'd rather have the weakness of God than all the strength of man.
Amen.
Now the world looking at it though and saying, go ahead, you can have that because it's foolish and it's weakness, it's understandable. Right? It's understandable because if you look in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse number 7, Paul talked about speaking the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom. God's wisdom is hidden from people. Mm-hmm. Amen. It's hidden from those who don't believe.
Yep.
Verse 10 says, though, but God has revealed these things unto us by his Spirit.
Yes.
For the Spirit searches all things, yea, the deep things of God. And Paul goes on to say in verse 11 of 1 Corinthians chapter 2, what man knows the things of a man save or except the spirit of a man which is in him? Mm-hmm. Even so, the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. See, no man can know the things of God on their own.
Yes.
We need the Spirit of God to teach us and to show us and to explain to us the things of God.
Amen.
But you can only get the Spirit of God when you receive Jesus as Lord and Savior. Mm-hmm. So if you don't receive Jesus, you don't receive the Spirit. If you don't receive the Spirit, then you can't receive the things of God. And so when the things of God are spoken, you say, that's foolishness. But it's only because you can't receive it.
Amen.
What do you mean you can't receive it? Remember we just read, amen, in our confession for this week, in verse 14, the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God.
Yes.
Why? For they are foolishness unto him. Mm-hmm. Neither can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. The Spirit of God has to teach us the things of God. And if you don't have the Spirit of God, then the things of God are foolishness to you. Mm-hmm. Amen?
Wow.
But watch this, though. But what applies to the world also applies to believers, right? When those in the world look at God's wisdom as foolishness, they cannot receive it. But if Christians do the same thing, if Christians look at the wisdom of God, and how many of you know the Word of God is God's wisdom? It's the revealed wisdom of God, right? We can see the wisdom of God through the Word of God. And if we as Christians look at the Word of God as foolishness, then we can't receive it. Now somebody said, well, wait a minute. If I'm a Christian, I won't look at the Word of God as foolishness. Well, not so fast. You may be surprised at how many Christians look at the Word of God, certain aspects of it, and say, that's foolishness. You may be surprised, right? I'm telling you right now, there are Christians, born again, amen, Christians who serve God, who believe that forgiving people is foolish.
Yes. Yeah.
There are some Christians who won't forgive.
Mm-hmm.
They think that's foolish. No, you do that to me, I'm going to get you back.
Amen.
But they're saved.
Mm-hmm.
But they think it's foolish. Why? They can't receive that. And see, whatever you can't receive is because you think it's foolishness.
Yep.
I can't receive that.
Mm-hmm.
There are Christians who don't want to forgive other people. Yep. There are Christians who believe tithing is foolish.
Mm-hmm.
They even will write articles and blogs and talk about tithing. Tithing was under the law of Moses, even though Abraham tithed first.
Yes.
And Abraham was here long before Moses. And yes, Moses, yes, it is part of the law, but here's the thing. They go, well, we don't live under the law anymore. Okay, we don't live under the law anymore. We're in the New Testament. Yeah, I understand. But Jesus took the Pharisees to task. You read it in Matthew 23. He said, you tithe mint and cumin and all these spices. And he said, but you leave off the weightier matters of judgment and mercy and faith. He said about tithing, these things you ought to have done.
Yes.
But not leave the other undone.
Right.
He didn't say you didn't have to tithe. He said you tithe. And he said you should do that. But you also should walk in justice and mercy and in faith.
Amen. That's the truth.
That's New Testament. And here's another thing. Didn't you know that Jesus said that he did not come to abolish the law, but to fulfill it? So to the extent that tithing is in the law, Jesus fulfilled the law. He didn't do away with it.
Right, exactly.
But there are some Christians, tithing is foolishness. They don't want to do it. So guess what? They don't receive it because it's foolish. Amen?
Wow.
Things like personal sacrifice, humility, holiness, meekness. Watch this one. Turning the other cheek. foolishness even to some Christians.
Yeah, you're talking right.
Bearing other people's burdens, giving in order to receive. Watch this one. Blessing those who curse you.
Wow.
That's foolishness to some Christians. And yet that comes straight out of the Bible. God's word says all of those things and more. So there are even Christians who view these and other things of God as something they will not do because on some point, this is foolish. I don't need to do this. Mm-hmm. I don't need to do that. It don't take all that.
Amen. Yep.
And if it's foolish, see, here's the thing about the foolishness, and I don't care if you're a Christian or not, if you're a believer or an unbeliever, most people do not want to look like a fool. If someone even looks foolish, they will get so angry. Most of us, when we look foolish, we get angry at whatever it is that's causing us to look foolish. If a person makes us look foolish by putting us in an awkward situation, oh, we're through with them. They put me in that spot. Why you put me in there? You knew I wasn't ready to speak, and you called on me anyway. You made me look like a fool. Oh, we'll be too through with people who make us look foolish. We don't want to look foolish. That's why so many of us fake knowing stuff.
Yep.
Because we don't want to look like a fool. Oh, but here is the problem, though. To the extent that we have a problem looking like a fool, we may have a problem being used by God to the utmost.
Amen.
Look what Paul said as we go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. In verse 26. He said, not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. Right? God is not calling and using people who already believe they're wise. He's not calling and using people who already believe they're strong and mighty. He's not calling and using many people who believe they're already of high class. He doesn't want that. But what does it say in verse 27? God chooses the foolish things.
Yep.
He chooses weak things. Verse 28, he chooses base things. Base things are low class things. He chooses things which are despised. He chooses things which are not. So people who are nothing, they haven't accomplished nothing. Nobody thinks much of them. God uses those things. And those people to do great things in the earth.
Amen.
But how many of us want to be viewed as base? How many of us are willing to be despised? How many of us are willing to be thought of as being nothing much? Or being weak? Or being foolish? That's not what we aspire to.
Amen.
We want people to think well of us. Like, we got it together. We're smart. We're this. We're that. And that has its place. But it can get in the way of God fully using us if it comes to God giving us a command that in the end might make us look foolish.
Yes.
Because if it does, and we're so concerned about how we're going to be perceived by other people, we won't do what God is telling us to do. I'm not going over there to talk to her. I don't know her. She may tell me to get out of here. I'm trying to share the gospel with her, and all this crowd's around it, and I'll walk away, and she'll just treat me like I'm nothing. Everybody be laughing, I'll be embarrassed. And so we stay in our place.
That's exactly right.
But we have a problem being foolish, being weak, being base, being despised, being useless, then you know what? We may be eliminating ourselves from being used by God at a higher level. Because it says right here that God is looking for these things. He's looking for the weak, and he's looking for those who are foolish, and he's looking for those who are base and despised, and he's looking for those types of things, and he's looking for those types of people so that he can use them to unleash his power and wisdom in the earth. And all you got to do is look in the Bible, and I'm telling you, there's a whole bunch of people in the Bible, people of God, who have done some foolish things.
Amen. Yep.
I'll start with Abraham. Abraham, the Bible says, left his home, left his father's house, left his kindred, left his family, uprooted his household. Sarah said, where are we going? He said, I don't know. Right? I don't know. I'm moving. We're moving. We're packing up our house today, and we're moving. Where are we going, Daddy? I don't know. Now, he didn't have any children, but I'm just saying, we bring them to birth. Can you imagine today a father coming home saying, we're moving? And the wife said, where are we going? I don't know. How many know? That wife might be filing for divorce come Monday morning. Children, I'm not leaving. But that's what happened, right? If someone were to do that today, we might say, oh no, that's not wisdom. See, because we know you don't just move if you don't know where you're going, right? Is that conventional wisdom? You don't quit a job unless you already have one. Oh, see, we need to know how the blank is going to be filled in. Where are you going? That blank needs to be filled in. Abraham didn't have it. He had nothing to fill in the blank. He said, I don't know. Because God said, you get up from here and go to a land what? That I will show you. To some people, that's foolishness today. Amen. Think about God's battle plan for Joshua. The wall of Jericho, it said it was so fortified that no one could get in, no one could get out. And God gives Joshua a battle plan. Walk around the city of Jericho once a day for 6 days, don't say anything. On the seventh day, walk around seven times and then scream. No tools, no weapons, no nothing. This is that's a foolish battle plan. But what happened? The walls of Jericho came tumbling down. But do you know the people in Jericho probably say, what are these Jewish people doing? They keep walking around our city. They did it for a whole week. I'm sure they probably were being laughed at.
Yeah.
What about Gideon? Gideon had 32,000 men, and God reduced it to 300 men. And said, go and fight against tens of thousands of men. There were so many men that had come against, the Midianites had come against them, and so many, there were so many of them that the Bible said they were like grasshoppers for multitude.
Yes.
And God told Gideon, take 300 men with trumpets, lamps, and pitchers, and go into battle. That's foolishness.
Yeah.
But yet they got the victory.
Yeah.
Job lost his family, his health, his wealth. He lost his business, but he didn't lose his integrity. And his wife thought he was crazy. You still going to praise God? That seemed foolish to her. All throughout the Bible we see it.
Yeah.
What about Elijah? Elijah tells Ahab, it's not going to rain, and then he runs. God tells him, go to the brook Cherith, and you can drink the water from the brook. And he had a promise from God that a raven, a dirty bird, would come every morning and every evening and bring him sandwiches.
Yes. Amen.
Mm-hmm. Who would go and do that? God tells you, go. Don't worry. I'm going to have a bird bring you some meat and some bread. Isaiah walked around naked for 3 years preaching the word of God. 3 years. Naked. Preaching. Because God told him to do it. Ezekiel ate a scroll.
That's right.
Ezekiel lay on his side for 430 days. Ezekiel cooked his food over excrement.
Yes.
Yeah. And God told him to do these things.
Yeah.
David danced out his clothes.
Yeah.
That's all Old Testament. No. John the Baptist preached in the wilderness and said he wore clothes made of camel hair and ate a diet of locusts and wild honey. Come on, somebody. Mary and Joseph went around telling everybody that the Holy Ghost impregnated Mary. You don't think people were looking at them like they were fools? Okay. Ah, yeah. The Holy Ghost got her pregnant? Uh-huh.
Are you crazy?
Right? Right? Peter got out of the boat. Right? Paul was told by the Holy Ghost that when he goes to Jerusalem, he's going to be arrested and thrown in jail. And he went anyway. And he said, none of these things move me. Jesus talked to a fig tree. Out in the open. And when we talk about Jesus, Jesus left his high estate. He left his divinity. Took on the form of a man. Suffered the death of a criminal. Even though he knew in advance that he was coming to his own and his own would receive him not. I mean, you look throughout the whole Bible and we can look at this and if we try to apply our human wisdom to it, we can say to all of this and more, that's a bunch of foolishness.
Yes, amen.
That's a bunch of foolishness. But this is what, but you see one thing in common. Every last person that I mentioned was used mightily by God to do great things in the earth.
Yes.
And they did things that changed the course of human history. But all of them were asked to do things by God that many people viewed as foolishness.
Yeah.
This week, Brother Les, I was downstairs in the kitchen. I was making my wife's coffee, and she came downstairs, and I was in the middle of a conversation, and she said, what are you saying? And I didn't try to hide it. I told her, I said, I'm talking to the microwave. She said, okay. I said, I was telling the microwave, because it had fingerprints, there were fingerprints on the touchpad. I hate seeing fingerprints on the touchpad. So I talked to the microwave and I told it, I said, you think you're going to have fingerprints on the touchpad? I think not. That's what I said. And she walked in as I was like ending my, I think not. And so I didn't try to hide it. She said, what are you doing? I said, I was talking to the microwave. She said, okay. And then I said, Jesus talked to things, babe, so I talked to things.
Yeah.
And then she said, that's right. I said, Jesus talked to things, I talked to things.
Yes.
If Jesus talked to a tree, I talked to a microwave.
Yeah.
Amen? Now, how many of you know, people might think that's foolishness.
Yeah.
Right? But Jesus talked to the wind.
Yeah.
Told it, peace, be still. I mean, you know why most of us don't do the things Jesus did? Because it would look foolish.
Yeah.
There have been plenty of hurricanes and storms that came. How come you don't go into your yard and I don't go into my yard and every believer doesn't go into their yard in the middle of the storm and say, peace, be still? Because we're worried that the neighbor's going to be looking outside their window saying, those folks done lost their mind.
Yep. That's exactly right.
We don't want to look like a fool.
Yeah.
That's why we do some stuff when no one's looking. We'll say some stuff when no one's looking. But why we won't do it out in the open? Because so many of us say, what if it doesn't happen? Then I'll look like a fool. But here's the question in a nutshell, right? Are we willing to look like a fool for God? If God tells us to do a thing, are we willing to look like a fool for God? Are we willing to walk at such a high level of obedience that others will call us foolish?
Jesus, Jesus.
Will you talk to a fig tree? Will you talk to the storm? Will you talk to the mountain? Many of us have looked at that scripture. We've seen the scripture in Mark chapter 11 where Jesus said, if you say unto this mountain, and yet and still more people talk about the mountain than they talk to the mountain. Whatever that mountain is in your life, you talk about it. You talk about your bills, you don't talk to your bills.
Amen. That's true.
You talk about the pain in your body, but you don't talk to the pain in your body. Right? Will you talk to the mountain? And will you do it in front of people?
Yeah. Amen.
Will you have the nerve, right? You know, sometimes I have, you know, our internet gets slow.
Yes.
And we get mad the internet gets slow. I mean, because, you know, we need our internet these days, right? And when the internet connection get all messed up, like, man, this internet is out again. What's the matter? Oh, the internet is out. How come we don't talk to the internet? Talented, right? You're slow. You need to speed up in Jesus' name. Because look, they're going to make us look foolish.
Yeah.
Especially if it don't speed up.
Yeah.
But Jesus told us to speak the thing. Do we have, right? Speak to it. We said it here before, to go home and open up your checkbook and speak to your checkbook and tell those numbers to grow.
Grow.
How many people have done it, though?
No.
Yeah.
You done this, Patricia? See, I listen to Patricia. I know that you listen to her enough. She do stuff. Right, but. But we talk about it. But if I don't, if I have to, ain't enough numbers up in here. Speak to your checkbook.
Amen. Amen.
Yeah, amen.
But we don't want to look foolish.
Mm-hmm.
Will we step out of the boat? Will we tell someone to take up their bed and walk? Do we dare tell Lazarus to come forth?
Wow.
Yeah.
Come on.
Mm-hmm.
But yet we say, and we know the scripture, that Jesus said, the works I do, greater works shall you do.
Mm-hmm.
But he called Lazarus. Well, when the last time you called forth something that was dead?
Jesus.
That someone said was over. And bring it back to life.
Jesus.
I can't do that. I don't know. But why don't you try it? Just imitate Jesus.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
May look like a fool.
Yeah.
But God is searching for people who aren't afraid to look like a fool.
Amen.
People who have a faith, a radical faith, to simply do what God commands them to do. I'm not saying to you, and God's not saying to us, amen, that we should just go for just doing all kinds of nonsense. I'm talking about doing God-directed things.
Amen.
All the things we talked about, the walking around Jericho's wall, Ezekiel lying on his side, Elijah believing that a raven is going to bring him sandwiches every day. That was something God had told them. So I'm talking about God-directed things. Don't just go and now start doing some foolishness and think God's supposed to back it up when that foolishness came from your heart.
Yeah.
I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about when God tells you to do something, but you look at it and go, "Oh, I can't do that because I might look foolish." Be willing to look foolish if you're being obedient to God. If God is telling you to do something, be willing to look foolish in order to be obedient to God. You think about people who've done great things in this world. You think about, you know, we take airplanes and we fly on airplanes. And airplanes are a wonderful thing, right? Can take us from here to there, take us all across the country, take us all across the globe in a matter of hours. Even long distances. And yet the Wright brothers made the airplane. They invented the airplane. But the Wright brothers, do you know the Wright brothers owned bicycles? They manufactured bicycles. They had a bicycle shop. They manufactured bicycles. But they you have to see that one day they look outside their bicycle shop and they look in the sky and they saw airplanes. And over the next few years, they made gliders. And they were gliding through the sky. They glide. They did that for 3 or 4 years. And then finally, I think it was, early 1900s, right? Early 1900s, they had their first flight. How many people you thought told them that they were fools?
Yeah.
Right.
Right? Mm-hmm. Right? How many people, amen, you know, there's somebody right now who's living, nobody in your family has ever started a business, but God has put on your heart to start a business, and everybody around you is telling you that you're being foolish, you can't do it. Nobody in your family ever gone to college. You, maybe someone's in the backwoods of Mississippi. You ain't even been there in no big city, and God is telling you that you're going to go to the big city and go to one of the finest schools in the country, and that's in your heart, but you don't want to believe it, you don't want to confess it, because people around you might start talking about you like you're a fool. See, when God puts things on your heart, it's always going to be bigger than us. And it's going to be bigger than the people around us. But we have to be willing to say, you know what? If God told me to do this thing, if God placed this in my heart, I may not see how I'm going to get there. And it may seem like it's even foolish for me to believe this thing. But you know what? I'm just going to believe it and I'm just going to do it.
Amen.
And you leave the rest to God. But don't refuse to do the thing because you've concluded, or worse yet, somebody around you concluded that that's foolishness. Be willing to look like a fool. The Bible talks about that in Proverbs. It talks about that wisdom is the author of witty inventions. Why can't you and I be the next author of the witty invention? We were talking about something the other day that needed to be done. What were you talking about?
I know.
See? Didn't even write it down.
I know.
We were talking about something the other day. We said, man, we need to have that.
Yeah.
The Holy Ghost is going to bring it back to our remembrance.
Amen. Amen.
Hmm? But we got to be willing to look like a fool. But what is God speaking to your heart that you think is foolish? And sometimes you may not think it's foolish, and understand how it might play out in your head. You might not think it's foolish, that those words might not come foolish. But if you start thinking things like, that can't be done, it's the equivalent of foolish. Right? When you start thinking, oh, it can't be done. Well, if someone tells you to do something, but you conclude it can't be done, what are you saying? You're saying that doesn't make any sense. So don't think, well, I've never thought anything that God told me was foolish. Oh, okay. But have you ever heard God tell you to do something and you started immediately questioning how it's going to be done?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But if God speaks something to your heart and to my heart, let us just at least make this commitment. I'm not going to dismiss it. I don't care how outrageous it seems.
Amen.
I don't care how outrageous it seems. I'm not going to dismiss it. But instead, I'm going to meditate on it. I'm going to embrace it. I'm going to dare to believe it.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
And if it makes me look like a fool, because people say to you, who do you think you are that you can do that? Who do you think you are? There's somebody right there who believes, amen, that you know, maybe you got a talent or an ability, and someone's telling you, you got to work your way up. But God is telling you, go straight to the top. Don't even go there. You go straight to the top. Right? You know, people telling you, oh, in order to do certain things, you need to know people. You need to have an agent. You need to have a lawyer. You need to have this. You need to have that. And God says, just walk in there.
Yes, amen. Amen.
People are going to think you're a fool. You don't even have lawyers. You don't have the papers. You don't have this. You don't have that. But if God told you to walk in, then walk in.
Amen.
Because then when you walk in, it's just like Sister Nell was talking about earlier today. See, sometimes we wait for the next thing. We wait for the next instruction, right? He told Philip, go over there and get next to the car. And he goes over there and he gets there and then he starts talking. Jesus told the lepers, go show yourself to the priest. He didn't say nothing to them about being cleansed. But as they went, they got cleansed. So watch this. God tells you to walk into your boss's office. Walk into the bank. Walk up into the record producer or whoever. You know, go up there. You got to start low. But God tells you to start high. Go high. Aim high. And then you walk in anyway. And as you walk in, the anointing of God is there waiting for you. And now you're able to do things and the favor of God is with you. And you walk out of there with something you never would have walked out of if you believe everybody else for saying that you're foolish.
Amen.
Dare to be foolish.
Amen.
Dare to be foolish. Amen. But God uses, we see this in the scripture, it said, he uses the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. He uses the weak things of the world to confound those that are mighty. Amen. I'm going to turn to one place and then we're going to leave out of here. I'm going to ask you to turn with me to 2 Samuel. 2 Samuel chapter 6. If you think about it, most of the things that you've done by faith, other people probably consider it was foolish.
Mm-hmm.
Hmm?
Yeah.
You ever tried to buy something you knew you didn't have any money for?
Yes.
Because you were going in faith?
Yeah.
Huh?
Yeah.
That's foolish. There's a lot of people. I'm just going to walk in there.
Yeah, buy up.
Some of the most, if you look over your life, some of the things that you've accomplished in your life, mm-hmm. what didn't line up with conventional wisdom.
Amen. Yes.
Right? It didn't line up with conventional wisdom. Mm-hmm. Some of the greatest accomplishments you have in your life didn't fall neatly in the box, didn't check every box, didn't fall neatly between the lines.
Mm-hmm.
It didn't follow the conventional wisdom. I don't know, people always want to be saved. You want to be saved? I'm telling you now, if you want to be with God, if you got this, I want to be saved, you can't follow God for so many places. Because God don't stay in safe places.
Amen. That's so true.
He's going to stretch you and put you in some uncomfortable and sometimes dangerous places.
Yeah.
But if we go, amen, he promised, amen, I'll never leave you nor forsake you.
Amen.
He'll be there with us, amen. Let's look at 2 Samuel, right? 2 Samuel chapter 6. Let's look at verse number 12. It says, and it was told King David, saying, the Lord hath blessed the house of Obed-Edom and all that pertaineth unto him because of the ark of God. So David went and brought up the ark of God from the house of Obed-Edom into the city of David with gladness. And it was so that when they bear the ark of the Lord, had gone 6 paces, he sacrificed oxen and fatlings. And David danced before the Lord with all his might. And David was girded with the linen ephod. Now the Philistines had had the ark of God for a while.
Mm-hmm.
And David defeated the Philistines and he got back the ark of God.
Mm-hmm.
In the first part of chapter 6, David made the decision to put the ark of God on a new cart,
mm-hmm.
so that they can bring it back to Jerusalem. But there was a problem with that. God had told Moses that the ark of the covenant was to be made in a certain way and had to have 4 rings on it, 2 on each side. And that he also had to make poles that would go through the rings. And that the Ark of the Covenant was always supposed to be carried on the shoulder of the Levites, who had the responsibility for moving the holy things that were in the tabernacle. And he told Moses that. And then in the book of Numbers, chapter 7, some of the elders, after the tabernacle was completed, they brought Moses some gifts, and they brought him some gifts, and they brought him 6 carts and 12 oxen. And God said, you can give it to the Levites. But there were 3 families of the Levites. Gershon, Merari, and Kohath. And he said, you can give 1 cart and 2 oxen, right, or 2 carts and 4 oxen to them. And you can give the rest of to Gershon. And you can give the rest of the carts to Merari. But don't give Kohath anything, because the family of Kohath were the ones who were supposed to carry things on their shoulders. So the Ark of the Covenant is supposed to be carried on the shoulder. Mm-hmm. Even when they got a cart, God said, don't give the cart to Kohath, because they have to carry things on the shoulder. Mm-hmm. So know what happened. Now David has the Ark of the Covenant all these years later, and he wants to bring it back to Jerusalem, and he's bringing it on a new cart.
Yes.
That's what it says, a new cart. But how many of you know, if you're not obeying God, it doesn't matter if your cart is new or it's old or if it's or any way in between.
Yeah.
If God said it doesn't go in a cart, it's not supposed to go in a cart.
Amen.
Now, you know the story. They're bringing the Ark of the Covenant back, and the oxen is pulling the cart, and it said that the oxen stumbled. And Uzzah was walking along the side of the cart, and he didn't want the Ark of the Covenant to fall, so he put his hand forward to keep the Ark from falling on the ground, and God killed him. And David didn't understand why at first, but the reason why it happened was because that's not the way you were supposed to be transporting the Ark of the Covenant. You're not supposed to touch it, and only certain people are supposed to be handling it. And how many of you know, listen, God is serious about some stuff.
Amen.
And so now David found out, and so they brought the house to, they brought the Ark of the Covenant to Obed-Edom, and they left it there for 3 months. And David got word in verse 12 that God was blessing Obed-Edom's house. Mm-hmm. And I also believe David got a revelation now on how to transport the Ark. And so now he went and he goes to pick up the Ark. And now as they're bringing it, they would go 6 paces and stop and sacrifice. 6 paces, stop and sacrifice. And as they're doing that, David is dancing like crazy.
Yes.
And as he's dancing, his wife is looking out the window. Look at verse 16. It says, and as the Ark of the Lord came into the city of David, Michal, Saul's daughter, one of David's wives, looked through a window and saw King David leaping and dancing before the Lord. And the Lord said, and she despised him in her heart. Mm-hmm. Remember what the word said in what Paul said?
Yeah.
That those who are despised, see, God uses those who get despised.
Yeah.
Jesus was despised and rejected. And they brought the Ark of the Lord and set it in its place in the midst of the tabernacle that David had pitched for it, and he offered burnt offerings. Verse 20, let's jump down to verse 20. Then David returned to bless his household. And Michal, the daughter of Saul, came out to meet David and said, how glorious was the king of Israel today, who uncovered himself in the eyes of the handmaids of his servants as one of the vain or base fellows shamelessly uncovers himself. So she came out and told him, weren't you the spectacle out there dancing out your clothes? Because David danced out of his clothes. And Michael's looking at him and despising him and views him as one of them foolish base fellows who's just acting the fool in front of all the handmaidens. And she's being sarcastic. Oh, weren't you just the honorable one out there today, King David? And David said to Michael, it was before the Lord which chose me before your father and before all his house to appoint me ruler over the people of the Lord, over Israel. Therefore, I will play before the Lord. And he said, and I will yet be more vile or undignified than this.
Yes.
Stephen Herbert made a song years ago. It's undignified praise. And, yes. And part of the chorus is, and I will be even more undignified than this. That's scripture he was singing there. Amen.
Yeah, man.
But David said, I'll be even more undignified than this. I'll even look like more of a fool than this. Because I'm dancing for the God who placed me king over his people.
Yes.
And if it makes, and if you look at me, you may be my wife, but if you look at me and think it's foolish, then you just gonna have to think it's foolish. I'll be even more foolish than
yes.
this when it comes to doing things for God. That's what David was telling her. In verse 23, it says, and he said this, verse 22, I want to finish out verse 22. He said, I'll be more undignified than this, and will be base in my own sight. In other words, I'll look like a fool. I'm willing to look like a fool. But of the head, but he says, and of the maidservants which thou hast spoken of them I shall be had in honor. That's a good lesson for us right there. Because here's the thing. David said, I'm willing to look like a fool, Michael. You think I look like a fool? I'm willing to look like a fool in my own eyes. I'm willing to do that. But he said, but you know what? There's going to be some people around me who are going to think what I'm doing is honorable. And see, that's the thing about looking like a fool. There's going to be some people who think you look like a fool, but God will make sure there'll be some people around you who will see that you're operating in faith.
Amen.
And they will stand with you. They will pray with you. They will support you. Even though some others are thinking you look like a fool.
Mm-hmm.
And look at how the story ends. Verse 23, it said, therefore, Michael, the daughter of Saul, had no child until the day of her death.
Yep.
Why do I say how the story ends? Because that's the last time in the Bible that Michael's mentioned. You see what happens, amen? So listen, when we want to act like, you know, oh, I don't want to look like a fool, or we put down other people to look like a fool, God will make sure that people won't hear from us no more. Right? Why? Because God needs to do some things in the earth, and he needs people who are willing to do what he says to do, even if it might look foolish, and you don't need folk around you trying to tell you this and that. You better be careful about telling people about what they shouldn't do if God told them to do a thing.
Amen.
You better keep your mouth off of them, amen?
Hallelujah.
You better keep your mouth off of them.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Now, if you think they're out there operating on their own, or they tell you they're operating on your own, that's one thing. But if they're telling you, I believe God is having me to do it, then you know what you do? You just pray for them, you support them, you stand with them, you watch over them, you do whatever you can, but be careful, don't put your mouth on them. So, are we going to be willing to look foolish for God?
Praise the Lord.
Amen. I'm willing to look foolish for God.
Amen.
And I'm hearing God saying this in connection with all the things he's been saying to us since the beginning of November. Telling us to go for it. Telling us that we're already blessed. And so don't be waiting for more things to happen. You already have it within you. Telling us to come out of the shadows and be transparent so that we can walk in real glory and see real transformation, real power, and real freedom operating in our lives.
Amen.
But now you hear him say, and don't be afraid to look like a fool. Why? Because once we get this thing and say, I'm ready now, God, I'm ready to go where you would have me to go, he may put us in some spots that to some people look foolish. And maybe even look foolish to us.
Amen. Yes.
But God is encouraging us, amen. My heart is encouraged. I want to encourage you, amen. Don't be afraid to look like a fool.
Amen.
If God is telling you to do something, it may be foolish, right, to men, but the foolishness of God is greater than the wisdom of men.
Amen.
Amen. And so what I'm walking in right now in my life is the foolishness of God, that I'm somebody who's most blessed. And I'm somebody that God's going to use in a mighty way.
Amen.
So in the end, amen, whether your pants are on the ground or not, amen, amen, whether your pants are on the ground or not, you may end up looking like a fool, amen, as you follow God. But be willing to do it, amen. Because God uses people who aren't afraid to look like a fool. Amen.
That's right.
Amen. And I pray that be you and that be me.
Amen.
Let's rest on our feet and pray today. Amen. I'm not afraid to look like a fool.
Amen.
Somebody said, I'm glad that you say that, but you already look like a fool. I know I've done some things that people shake their head at. There's some things I shake my head at. Glory to God. Yeah, you've been front and center, Sister Fennell, so you've been right there with me. I thought you laughing. Let's pray today. Amen. Praise God. She laughing out of nowhere. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we thank you. Glory to God.
Yes.
We thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. That you don't call the mighty, the wise, the strong, but Father, you call those that are foolish, those that are base. Oh God, those that are despised, those that are weak, so that your power can be revealed in the earth.
Lord,
hallelujah. And Father God, we are thankful today that we are qualified to be called by you and used by you. Because Father God, we don't count ourselves as wise. We don't count ourselves as strong. We don't count ourselves as lifted up. But Father God, we know that only you are the only wise God. You are the all-powerful one. And so, Father God, we yield and we submit before you. We humble ourselves under your hand, knowing that you resist the proud, but you give grace to the humble. And so, Father, we thank you right now for the word of encouragement, oh God, that is encouraging us to walk at a higher level of faith, even if others may think that we are being foolish. Father, we've seen the examples all throughout the Bible of those who have been called to do some things that others considered foolish. But yet, God, you used them in a mighty way. And Father God, you changed the course of history. And so, Father God, we're believing that you're not done yet. That you are yet on this day, at this time, looking for men and women of God who are willing to believe you and to do whatever thus saith the Lord. That you may demonstrate your awesome power in the earth.
Yes.
This earth needs to know that you are God. This earth needs to know that Jesus is Lord.
Yes.
This world needs to know that there is a God in heaven who sits high and looks low.
Yes.
And Father God, we desire to be used by you to be witnesses, to be vessels of your power demonstrated in the earth. And so, Father, we say, here we are, Lord, use us. Use us, O God, in whatever way you choose. And Father, we purpose in our hearts right now that, Father, even if it makes us look foolish in the eyes of men, we'd rather look foolish in their eyes, that we may be glorified in yours, God, and that you will look upon us with honor, and that we in the end may glorify you.
Yes.
Father, we bless you, we praise you. And we give you all the glory. We're expecting now, God, that you're going to speak unto us and give us guidance and direction, give us commandments and instructions.
Yes,
hallelujah. That's going to pull us out of our comfort zones. Hallelujah. And put us in a new realm of faith. And so, Father God, we're ready for it. We purpose ourselves to be ready. And we thank you right now for choosing us to do your work in the earth. We give you praise and we give you thanks right now. In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.